The Simplified Life Organizing System, Module 6, Technology. We all live busy lives, and no matter if you're a single person or a big family, we all need tools to help us manage and keep track of all the details of our lives. Increasingly, we turn to technology to help us do this, and it can if we put the right tools to work. In this module, we'll look at some of the tech tools that can help you streamline tasks at home. There's tons of tech tools out there, and this isn't meant to be an exhaustive list or survey of every app and every tool in existence. Rather, this is a good jumping-off point to get you started on how to approach the tech in your world in a strategic, smart, and organized way. Since the tech world is always changing, I've made it easy for you to find my latest picks for the best apps, websites, and tools around. You can see my choices on the Custom Living Solutions Productivity Toolbox. Just go to www.customlivingsolutions.com and click on Productivity Toolbox for the latest updates. But first, a client success story. A client of mine loves, and I mean loves, clipping articles about just about everything. Recipes, political news, travel ideas, restaurants to go to, you name it. And we're not talking about a few articles here and there. He had accumulated boxes, multiple boxes worth of clippings over the past few years, none of which he ever really read once he'd clipped them, because once they were in the box, they were essentially gone to him. And they weren't accessible to him when he was on the road or between meetings, and when he actually had time to read them. So instead of letting those articles continue to clutter up his home, we decided to capture them all electronically. We were able to organize them, and then we shared them with him on his iPad. Now, instead of all those boxes and piles, he's able to read any of his articles whenever he wants to, wherever he happens to be, without any paper clutter. And this is all through the magic of technology. So as we're deciding to use technology to help you get organized in your home, let's talk about your approach. Many of us buy technology because it's sexy or cool, or we think it'll help us. But I think it's helpful to approach it from a different angle. Consider first what problem you're trying to solve. Rather than just buying a gizmo for a gizmo's sake, or software because you think it'll do something cool, think about what specific problem you're trying to overcome, and then choose the tech tool that will fit that need. So for instance, if you're trying to manage lots of little scraps and bits of paper, you might want to choose a scanner so that you can get all of that into your computer, rather than getting a scanner because you think a scanner is cool. So think about what problem or challenge you're facing, and then choose a technology tool that's based around that. That's a much more satisfying and purposeful way to use technology in your organizing. Now let's talk about some of the helpful tech tools that you might need in your family. So many of us, if we're in a family, have lots of things that we're doing, both individually and things that we might want to do together. So it's helpful to have a shared calendar. And you can have a shared calendar that's just a paper-based calendar that you stick on the refrigerator, but increasingly it's easier to have an electronic calendar. And the benefit of electronic calendars is that they're really easy to share with multiple people. Google Calendar is a really great free one. iCal is great if you're on the Mac. If you're looking for a web-based solution, Jibidee, that's J-I-B-I-D-E-E, is designed specifically for families. There's lots of tools out there that will let you share events with other family members and so that you can stay abreast of what's going on with them and so that they can stay abreast of what's going on with you. Another helpful tech tool for families is being able to share documents. If there's something that's being created that you want other people in your family to see and everyone is relatively tech savvy, you might want to choose something like Google Docs or Microsoft's Office 365 or iCloud on the Mac so that you can easily share documents amongst multiple people and collaborate on things if you need to. Another great tech tool in a home is a device that lets you share your movies, your music, or your photos with other people in your household. You can get an Apple TV that lets you stream things from your other computers. You can use a Netflix box that lets you stream things from different devices around your home. You can use a Sonos, which lets you stream music. You can use a dedicated media file server. They have some that are made by iOmega and Hewlett-Packard. And they're not that expensive anymore. For 1 terabyte of space, that's a lot of movies, a lot of music, and a lot of photos. That's around $150 for a small home server. And that's a device that connects to your network that lets you stream things amongst all of your computers. By streaming these things, it cuts down on a lot of clutter. So rather than having CDs scattered around the house or DVDs scattered in different rooms, they can all be collected onto one drive or one computer that you can then access from your different devices. So let's say Junior wants to watch a movie up in his bedroom. He can do that while you look at photos on the living room TV. So a streamer can really help with that sort of thing. Now, if we're talking about electronic tools to help with paper, we're typically talking about some methodology for going paperless. Going paperless is not exactly what it sounds like. It doesn't mean that there's going to be no paper. It does not mean paper-free. It means less paper. And there's multiple ways to get there. There's, as we talked about in the paper section, reducing the amount of paper that's coming into your space. And then there's different ways of dealing with the paper once it's inside. So the strategy for dealing with paper when you're going paperless is actually very similar to when you're dealing with it when it's paper. You have things that come in, you have things that you're processing and sorting, and then you have things that are leaving. The format is just different. So strategy-wise, it's not very different, paper versus paperless. It's just the format. Of course, going paperless saves a lot of space, can save time, makes it easier to share information, and is less cluttered. So there's lots of benefits, but it does take some time to get it there. If you're talking about getting paper into your computer, there's a couple different methods. There's scanners. You can get scanners for home use for around $100 for a basic model, where you scan one sheet at a time, to around $400 for scanners where you can feed in up to 50 sheets at a time. Those are typically what I would recommend. And there's resources for these in your workbook. Once you've scanned things into your computer, you'll want to set up filing structures just like you did for your paper. In fact, it's a really good idea to set up structures that match your paper categories exactly. Use the same names, use the same file structure. That way, when you're looking for information in different places, you're always looking under the same names for similar types of information. So you can scan things yourself using a scanner and get them into your computer, or you can use a scanning service. Scanning services work like this. You send off a stack of documents through the mail. They scan them for you. They store them online on their server, which you can then download and put into your own folders on your computer. Or you can store them online so that they're accessible from anywhere. Completely up to you. Either way, scanning or using a service, you'll want to have some structure for how you're storing your documents so that it's easy for you to find them when you need them. Another great thing to think about when you're talking about using technology to help you stay organized is how you're going to get things out of your head and into your computer. Ideally, you want to capture everything that you're thinking of as much as possible so that you don't lose things or you don't write things on little scraps of paper and create clutter around your home. There are lots of great capture tools that exist to help you do this. One of the most popular ones is called Evernote. Using Evernote, you can capture text notes, you can capture pictures with your smartphone or camera, you can drag things in from the internet, and keep it all in a streamlined, organized database. You could keep things in a to-do list on your computer or your mobile device, like Tootly-Do or Todoist. You can capture things in something like a voice-to-text transcription tool, like Recall, where you speak and it transcribes your to-dos for you. Either way, the option here is for you to, instead of have things swirl around your head or around your family's heads, each person can capture their stuff in a way that makes sense for them so that you can share it with each other if you need to, but most importantly, access things when you need them without having to search, dig, or scrounge around trying to find that important bit of information when you need it. Now, Regardless of what you're using technology for, if you're keeping anything of importance at all on any of your computers, whether it's photos, schoolwork, recipes, family information, anything at all that's important to you, if you don't want to lose it, it's important that you back up your stuff regularly. You must have a backup strategy for your data, whether that's an external hard drive that lives in your home, or a storage service that lives online, where when your computer is idle, it backs things up to the internet. It's important that you back your stuff up regularly. Backing up once a month doesn't quite do it anymore. We just create too much stuff on our computers too regularly for once a month backup to do it. I encourage at least once a week backup, but even better is daily backup. That way you're never going to lose your important stuff, no matter how recently you created it. And you can backup again to an external drive, which you can get very inexpensively now, or you can use a service, which is around $5 to $10 a month, for unlimited online backup. And again, there'll be links to these in your workbook. Now, let's say you've chosen great tech tools, but you've got a lot of stuff now. You've got hard drives, you've got computers, you've got cables running every which way. Cables are not pretty. In fact, they're pretty ugly, and they can look like a rat's nest behind your TV or your computer desk or just running around your home. So let's talk about how to reduce some of your cable clutter. This is a request I get from clients all the time. So first thing you want to do, just like we talked about editing through your paper and your belongings, you'll want to edit through your cables. Not every cable that comes with every device is needed. So you'll want to make sure that you're just plugging in only what's necessary. Then you can look at recycling the cables that you no longer need or that are not of use to you. Next step is to label the tips of the cables on both ends. Label what device the cable goes to. That way, when you're plugging and unplugging and replugging things, you don't have to fret about what things are supposed to be plugged into. It's clearly labeled where things go. Then, once you've detangled the cable mess behind your computer desk or behind your television, you've plugged things back in the way that you want them to remain, then it's time to actually tidy up the cables. There's a few strategies for this. First, you want to gather all the cables together into one large clump. Then you can Velcro them together or group them together using a cable sheath, or you can tie them together using cable ties. That makes it much easier to hide the cables. When they're all grouped in one spot, you can get a sheath that's white or black or a color so that it blends better with your decor. Once things are grouped, they can also be run along the back of a table leg or a piece of furniture so that they're more hidden than when there's a loose string of cables running around. Another tool that's really helpful is to hide the giant brick that includes the power strip and all the different power adapters. That can be pretty messy and pretty ugly. And there's a product called the Cable Box from a company called BlueLounge.com, where you simply put the entire box with all the different adapters inside of it, and it makes the cables and all the adapters much tidier. In your workbook, there's a list of all of these tools, along with what supplies you'll need to get to manage the cables for each spot in your home. Fill out the workbook with that information about what you need to do in each individual room to manage the cables within that space. And then finally, just a little bit of food for thought here. With the increase of availability of different types of information on the internet or online, the question of whether you need to own certain things is coming up more and more. So for instance, rather than buying a DVD, you can often rent movies online now, or you can get them through Netflix, or get them on demand. Instead of buying lots of video games for your kids, you can look at using a service like Gamefly, where you rent a game, and it's just like Netflix, where they send you a disc or a DVD, and instead of owning things, you rent them for a period of time, and then when your kids are done with the game, they send it back and get a new one. Same thing with Netflix for adults. If you watch a lot of movies, you don't necessarily need to buy them. You might be able to rent them and then send them back when you're done. There are lots of services like this for movies, for videos, for video games. A lot of different digital information is now available for us to access, but not necessarily own. The reason why I bring this up is because these are the types of collections that we don't necessarily intend to own, but end up with just the same. So think about the next time you want to buy a piece of music, or software, or movie, or video, or a game, whether there's an alternative way for you to access that information digitally without you having to actually bring another thing, another physical object, into your home permanently. There might be an alternative if you simply look for it. Take a few minutes and fill out your action plan as it relates to technology. What technology pieces you might want to put into place for your family, what different things you might want to do for yourself personally, how you're going to manage the cables in each room in your home, and finally, whether there's alternatives for you to choose digital information rather than physical things. I'll see you in the next module.